Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 86, and I am Libby, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
I'm Tom from Glendale.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Amy from Encino.
Encino, really?
That's where I'm living.
I'm just giving you crap.
Large.
All right, so this week with the news, what we have is that Nathan Lane is starring, writing, directing, and starring in a new USA comedy pilot that is supposed to be a half an hour, which is weird to me because USA is all about one-hour dramas. Hmm. So this is like the first half-hour comedy, and it's one single.
In a long time. They used to do half-hours back in the day.
I don't remember that.
Duckman, Weird Science, the TV series.
Oh, vaguely. Wow, that was long. That was a long time ago. But
back in the 90s.
I thought that was interesting just to even bring that up. The other piece of news I have is that Spartacus Vengeance has set a premiere date for, it's going to be on Stars on January 27th. And look for the extended trailer that they have online. It looks pretty awesome. I'm excited. Next is that Hell on Wheels is going to premiere on AMC, I think this weekend, like tomorrow. It's
Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the 6th of November, so I think that's Sunday. So I'm going to give that a shot. The other thing is that Downton Abbey, which is a BBC show, got picked up for a third season, and I mention it because we mentioned on the podcast that I watched it. I liked season one, and it got a lot of critical acclaim. So I figured to let you know, season three pickup. The other big news is that ABC has picked up three shows for a full season, including Happy Endings, Last Man Standing, and of course, Once Upon a Time, which I'm very happy about because I thought the pilot was incredible and I really liked the second episode, so yay.
They've also ordered a few more scripts for Pan Am.
Well, I don't care.
And I have some news about Treme.
Treme?
Treme, sorry.
Stay white.
You can make fun of me.
All right, what's your news?
The producer wants the show to end after season four.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe he's trying to just tell a full story. I guess that's all right.
Okay. And I have one piece of news. Homeland has been given a full season, or a second season pickup by Showtime.
All right. I mean, I don't know. Like, it feels like this needs to be a finite story, so it's kind of weird that they're doing it multi-seasons. But, I mean, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far. It's just strange.
We'll see.
Yeah. The other thing is, it's sort of news, it's sort of shows, it's in between, but I tried to watch the premiere of Boss, which is the show on Stars.
Oh, Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
How was that?
He's good.
But the show's not?
I couldn't make it through the pilot. Like, but the premise is weird because the premise
is a political guy?
He's a political guy. But the deal is, in the very opening scene, you find out that he has this rare degenerative brain disease that's going to make him lose, you know, muscle and make him lose
like
memory.
Bartlett with his MS?
Yeah, but more so. He's going to get the MS part, but it's also going to give him sort of a weird kind of Alzheimer's.
So he has to leave office then?
Well, you get the impression that he has no intention of leaving office.
Does anybody else know besides him and his doctor?
It's literally, like, he met his doctor in an empty warehouse.
Oh, jeez.
Like, it's super top secret. Like, nobody knows about it. And she said that it also will make him more aggressive, and he needs to be, you know, looking out for signs of that, right? And so, like, in the first half hour, he has this argument with somebody, some deal falls through, and he about leaps across his desk and grabs this dude by his ear and is dragging him around the office, yelling at him. He's like, "Do you hear me now?" And I was like, "Oh my god!"
Huh. Wait, so what's your problem with the show?
Like, the scenes with him, totally fine. Right? But it's all these others. We break from him to see all these other people doing other stuff that I don't care about.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like,
it's just called Boss?
It's called Boss, yeah. And apparently he is already in office, but there's a re-election of some other guy that he's supposed to be helping that guy get re-elected, but that guy thinks he's going to screw him, which apparently he's not hallucinating because about halfway through he's prepping this other guy to screw the first guy. So I was like, yeah, the guy's instincts are good. But I don't, like, all the other political stuff, I don't find compelling. And it's weird. It's, yeah. So, I made it about to the halfway mark. I got about 30 minutes in, and I was like, I don't feel like watching the rest of this. So please, if you are out there and you're watching Boss, tell me yay or nay. Should I finish the pilot? Should I keep going? Right now, I don't have the motivation, considering all my other TV shows.
It's Stars.
Right. All right, let's move on to the shows. We're on a timer. We're going to keep this rolling. So first thing we want to talk about is Homeland. Shoot.
I love this show, but sometimes they're pulling a little bit too much from the 24 playbook.
Oh, yeah. My problem with the whole 24 thing is, because we've watched 24 forever, I had a problem where we got to the halfway mark again on this show, and he's trying to, he being...
Damian Lewis.
Damian Lewis, whose character's name I can't think of. He goes to talk to the boss to go in, and it's like, oh, I got to talk to this guy and make it right and get my peace. And I was like, you want to go in there and kill him. At the end of this conversation, you're going to convince him. Then you're going to kill him, and that's what's going to happen at the end of the episode.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, and that frustrated me because I could see the end just in that conversation. So I stopped it. Then I rewatched, and then I had to pick it up and watch it later. I do have to say that some of the other stuff was kind of interesting, though.
I think it's kind of interesting, though, that he doesn't get away with anything because they know, you know, Mandy Patinkin and Claire Danes know
that he's doing
that
it.
That he did it.
Right, but so, the problem is they have no proof.
Well, the thing is, I think a lot of this show is really cat and mouse.
Right.
You know, and the abiding questions are, how crazy is she and what has he been programmed to do exactly?
Yeah, we don't know his mission.
We don't know. I mean, just like the thing with the... with the mole, you know, follow the money. That
right.
seemed to resolve itself really early.
Right.
And they found the guy who did it, you know, the guy who's got the money.
Right.
Quickly. And then, you know, he's onto them, so they drive past. It's just cat and mouse, cat and mouse.
Right. But there's obviously also someone else who's giving those guys inside information because someone knew that they were tailing him. So you're like, who the heck is that guy?
I bet you there is a mole.
Of course there's a
boom,
mole.
Boom, boom, boom.
So yes, it has some 24 elements, which I like, except for the fact that I've watched 24 for 8 seasons, and it's...
You got through season 8? Wow.
It's not good.
And Libya gets the television campfire medal of distinction
you.
For... I watched the 4-hour premiere event, and I'm like, I'm done, you made me hate Starbucks.
Oh, right.
Oh, God, yeah.
Who, surprise, was a mole in CTU.
Yes, of course.
Hey, come on, Freddie Prinze Jr., whatever.
Let's move on to Walking Dead. And and I apologize for not talking about it last week because I actually literally forgot.
Like, all I can say is shame on Shane.
Shane, Peter was all about, I hate that character. And I was like, no, I understand why you don't like him because he's not supposed to be here, but he's all right. I just, except that I knew he wasn't a good person because my initial opinion was he shouldn't have left his friend. Or he shouldn't have lied to the wife about his friend being dead. So I was like, he's not a good person. I didn't mind the character, but I just was like, he's not a good person. However, now, I don't like the character because...
Yeah, well, we know he's definitely not a good person.
And the only thing that's weird is I knew what he had done before they revealed it.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Because you've got the two guys are running from a mob of zombies. Shane is hurt, so he's limping. And so now he's slower than the heavy guy. Totally leaves that dude as bait and just ditches him.
Yeah, he
shoots
does.
This guy, leaves him as bait to be eaten by the zombies.
Crew Taylor Vince, the guy who accidentally shot the kid.
Yeah. Remember in the finale the kid got shot?
Oh, I didn't know who shot the kid.
Well, this is this guy who's obviously he was hunting the deer, so it wasn't on purpose.
Exactly.
So that dude feels really guilty that he shot the kid, so he wants to help get medical supplies to help him, but they have to go into a zombie-infested school to go get all the supplies. And the two of them, for 2 episodes, have been dodging zombies and doing a pretty good job and fighting for it. But it gets to be where it's really desperate, and Shane gets hurt. And before, Shane was faster than the heavy guy, so it was fine. But then once he gets hurt and hurts his leg, the other guy's faster than him.
Does he shoot him and kill him or shoot him and wound him?
He shoots him and wounds him, which is even worse, I think.
Does the guy say, yeah, I can't believe you're going to leave me here? Like,
well, no, the guy's fighting him. He's like, don't do this, you know? And Shane just is beating him upside the head with a gun to get him to let go.
And the guy scratches Shane on his head. So when... The thing that was kind of cool about how they played this out is at the beginning of the episode, we see Shane shaving his head.
And you don't know why.
And we don't know why.
Right.
And then you see that he's got a mark on his head. And you're like, interesting. Has he been bit by a zombie? And then you find out that he shoots the other guy. And the other guy scratches him. I mean, in the scuffle. But the zombies get the other guy.
Hmm.
It's like, it reminded me of the old thing that when you're chased by a bear, you don't have to be faster than the bear.
You just have to be faster than the other guy. Yeah.
That's true.
Or your alleged friend.
Right. And that's pretty much...
Go ahead. We already knew from the graphic novels that Shane was a bad guy.
Right. Yeah,
but just morally bad. But so this is interesting how they're expanding on it in a different direction.
Right. Because they didn't kill him like we thought they were going to. But instead, they just made him very obviously irredeemable because there's no way you can redeem him for
that.
I think,
I don't know, like what I like about the graphic novel is that you do have characters that are irredeemable, but I feel like, it feels like, at least from what we're hearing, from you're telling me, that theoretically no one else is going to know that he killed this guy.
That's true.
See, like, in the graphic novel, usually things happen, things come to surface, and what's interesting is how the characters deal with that. But it sounds like in this case, it's kind of like, well, we, the audience, knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's not interesting. That's just like, well, now he's just, like you said, he's just a jerk that we don't like already.
I have
like,
a feeling that they did it, so if they do follow the graphic novel with what happens to the character, the audience will feel vindicated. Yes!
Yeah.
What do you mean, he already tried to rape the wife? And he's done so many bad things
that's
already.
True.
Like, what
still.
Do you mean?
Like, I agree with you.
Yeah,
I just want to go on at this
stand
point.
That character.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. I mean,
I hope that the kid shoots him. Just like.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great moment.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Because in the graphic novel, when the kid shoots him, it's a moment where you're like, oh my god, the kid shot him, and thank god they killed that guy. But as the graphic novel keeps going, you realize it's not really about Shane. It's more about how is this changing this kid who's killed someone, and that's the bigger story. I don't care about the Shane guy. I'm just like. He's so inconsequential to me. Like, I just can't believe he's, like, still a main character.
He's in the opening credits, man.
I know.
Yeah, he's
like,
a lead.
can I ask a question as a person who's read the graphic novel? Have they reached a place to settle for a while?
Sort of, yes. Because where he's healing.
No, I don't mean Shane. I mean the group, Rick.
Right. They're at this house where because the boy had to get operated on. So they found some people who have this farmhouse that has plenty of room and food and everything.
Okay, all right.
But they keep showing in the previews that, you know, we're not used to taking strangers in.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
Now there's going to be the negotiation. Like, now that the boy is healing, they're kind of like, okay, you can leave now.
Because there's a part where the graphic novel really takes off. They have to reach a specific place. And I keep thinking it's the finale of season 2. I bet it's not until season 3. If they haven't reached it yet, and it's a major deal. Like, it feels to me like, it's going to be the last shot of season 2, and it's really like...
Yeah,
I think
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's great. That's when the graphic novel's like...
Take
super
off.
Like, wow, this is like incredible. But, yeah, it's not a house. It's way more interesting than just that. I mean,
oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
But
well,
I'm not going to say anything.
Well, it
so,
looks
yeah.
like the family's kind of like, well, we're on our own, and we're fine.
Yeah,
we don't want any new
we
people.
We like it that way.
Yeah,
right,
we don't
yeah.
want any new people, which I get, because you don't know what... If you're already self-sustaining and you have enough food and stuff for yourself, you don't know what these additional people are going to add
right,
to
of course,
your group.
Right.
So you're like, yeah,
plus
you guys...
you don't know them.
Right.
Right.
So Walking Dead was good this week. Yep. I thought the emotional turmoil of the parents, they were discussing whether or not their son should live or die because they were going to do the surgery and they were like, well, he might die. And the mom was very much like, well, maybe he should die because what kind of future does he have in this world? And Rick was like,
the mom was channeling Andrea.
and Rick was like, there's no scenario in which my son should die.
Hmm.
And so that was really emotional. I thought that was a really good scene.
Okay.
But, all right, wrapping up, next up is Once Upon a Time, and this is the second episode of the season, and I really like it.
I like this show. I don't love it yet.
I kind of love it. I really do, because they had this, there's this, Emma still doesn't believe the kid. She's, like, humoring him. But there's this interesting moment where the witch has basically... tried all kinds of things to get Emma to leave. She's had her arrested. She framed her to get her arrested. She did all this other stuff. So then she was like, well, if my son hates her, then she'll definitely leave. So she sets her up to say something that will make the son hate her in front of him, which was brilliant. I have to give her credit. That was pretty brilliant. But then Emma kind of fires back and is like, oh, no, I was just kidding. I really totally believe you. Like our code word, you know? And it was, she got him back on her side. But what was great was she was like, oh, you want to arrest me? You want to play this game? And she goes to the woman's house and literally chainsaws her apple tree, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That was so good.
That was fantastic.
That was great.
Oh, because
she's... And the look on her face. Saw her tree being cut to pieces.
That was fantastic. And then she was like, it was like, she's like, if you want to keep playing this game, I'll be back for the rest of the tree. Your move. I was like, brilliant! Oh, and then the two evil witches, when they go into Fairy Tale Land, we get the back history on how she got that spell, the curse.
There's only one evil witch. Who's the other one?
Well, that's the thing, is, you know, in all fairy tales, there's more than one evil witch, depending on whose story it is, right? Sure. So we're up with the evil witch from...
The brunette.
Yeah, the brunette. We're from the Snow White story. White's. But the blonde chick, she's actually from True Blood. She's,
Pam
from True Blood is an evil witch from which story? Did they tell us which story it was?
I don't think so.
I think Sleeping Beauty, maybe?
They seem to imply she was Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
So, just from the way that they had her hair done up.
Okay.
And the cool thing about this show is because it's Disney, they can use their archetypal character designs.
Right, exactly. Ooh. So the two evil witches meet up and they're like, yeah, you gave me the... She's like, I need that spell back. He's like, nope, I'm using it. So they're negotiating how to get the spell. And then they end up having like a big fight, but like with magic and everything. And then one of the witches, the new one that we haven't seen, Pam, I'm going to call her Pam now. she had like this little unicorn horse thing that was her pet. And so the evil witch just attacked it, and Pam had to go and defend it. And then she lost the fight. And so the other evil witch was like, yeah, this is what happens when you love something, you lose. And it was like, oh, the big reveal that she freaking killed her father to do the spell was fantastic.
That was a trip.
Especially, I didn't realize that was her father.
I know, that was great.
Well, that was the reveal that it was her father, and that's why the child is named that.
Right. That was so great was because she tried to do the spell the first time using the heart of her horse, and it didn't work. So she goes to Rumpelstiltskin, and he reveals that in order for the spell to work, you have to kill something you love. And he was like, you didn't love your horse. You liked your horse, but you have to kill something you love. And she's like, there's nothing else I love. And he goes, are you sure? You sure there's not one more thing that you love? And he was implying her father. So basically, she had to make the curse work. She had to take her father's heart. And she tells
him... This is the witch that we know?
Yes.
Yes.
And she tells her father what's required of the spell. She's like, what do you think I should do? And he was like...
Was the father a big character?
No, we just meet him. But he was like her footman, you know? He was like her aide. Like, he was a guy, like, putting on her cloak and stuff. So you didn't think that he was her father. You just thought he was... a really, you know, her old...
Loyal servant.
And then you find out that's her father. And she's like, well, what do you think I should do? And he's like, you know, you should give up this whole vengeance thing. I think it's a bad idea. So he's like, you sure you don't want to let that go? And she's like, I try, but he made a fool of me and blah, blah, blah. And then she stabs him, takes his heart. It's like, wow.
That made me really sad.
It did, because it's a weird moment where... You kind of almost feel sorry for her because she has to kill her father, but she doesn't
have to. She doesn't have to.
I know.
She wasn't so freaking ambitious.
I know.
And ruthless and evil.
And then she goes to his grave, and you could tell she's really sad about it and everything, and it's just like, wow. It was interesting. I thought
she doesn't seem that sad. She seems more like, thanks, Dad.
That's true. But they are still mixing the current world and the... Fairy tale world. They're mixing the stories. They're giving us backstory and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin's awesome.
Robert Carlyle.
Oh, yeah. Because he totally remembers everything. You can tell he knows what's going on. However, I'm not sure that the evil witch does. Every time I think, oh, she knows. And then you're like, well, maybe she doesn't.
Yeah,
I don't think she does. It's a weird thing.
It seems like she might have gotten trapped by part of the...
Yeah, I think she lost some of her memory because there's this moment where it looks like she wants to look in the mirror and talk to the mirror, but then she doesn't remember it, you know? And the mirror is, oh my God, it's a dude from Breaking Bad. Gus is the mirror guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange.
You mean Chicken Man?
Yes.
Oh, he's already back.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah,
Esposito.
Yeah.
Oh, dude works all the time.
Huh. And so he's the mirror mirror on the wall. And what's so weird is he's so subservient. It's so bizarre to see that after watching Breaking Bad.
He's not two-faced anymore?
No. He's all like, oh, whatever you want. He's all like bowing and scraping. It's so weird. And he's smiling all the time. It's weird.
Unnerving.
Well, they were hinting at the mirror mirror in the first episode.
Right.
So,
yep.
we finally
see it this week. And yeah, I was very happy to see that actor again. He's so good. Okay. Wrapping up. Thumbs up. Good episode.
Thumbs up.
Next up is Castle. And this week's episode was one of their darker ones. I like it when they do the darker ones.
They really have hit their stride with the more serious episodes.
Yeah, because at first I would say in the first season, they actually suffered when they tried to do the serious
ones. Yeah, well, they weren't ready, and I don't think Stanna Katic was that good yet.
She's gotten better.
She's gotten much better.
And that was the... Because basically the whole episode is there's a bank robbery, and Castle and his mom get caught in the bank robbery.
Hostage crisis.
Yeah, and Castle can think on his feet, and apparently knows... I was like... She's like, of course he knows Morse code, because he's a geek. She's like, it's totally Castle sending us Morse code. So I thought that was pretty good. And of course, their moment at... when the bad guy on the phone was like, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to kill your boyfriend... And at one point he goes, she's not my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And then she gets on the phone and she's like, if you kill him, this is what's going to happen to you. And the list of things she said, I was like, ooh. And of course, being shippy, their reuniting scene was very nice.
I like the clever twist that I kind of figured that there was something going on with the one hostage at the beginning. It just seemed too good to be true.
I agree.
But the setup that he basically arranged for them to be killed
was awesome.
To get away with it. You know, it could have been a perfect crime if we didn't have really smart people.
Right.
Like Castle.
I knew that guy was in on it, but I didn't realize he was the ringleader.
Yeah.
So... Because I thought his job was to watch the hostages.
Can we have a moment of silence for the breakup of Alexis and Ashley?
Whatever, man.
Can I just say I'm glad because I'm tired of these one-way phone conversations with Ashley. Oh, Ashley, get rid of him. He's dead weight.
Exactly. Her father is in a hostage situation, and she's like, I need some support. I need you to call me. He's like, well, I'm busy right now. Can I call you later? It's like... No! You can't call me later! And she's like, I'm done. And that's sufficient reason to break up with somebody.
Seriously.
Anyway, so Castle was good. They had good shipping moments. The staring at each other for 10 minutes. I like that.
I love those moments. It brings me back to the days of Mulder and Scully.
Well, I didn't like Mulder and Scully, so that's...
I did. I was a huge fan.
You were a Scolder fan?
I was Skinner and Scully.
Scolder.
I like Skinner and Scully. That was my parent.
No.
But anyway. Ooh,
that's like dad.
No, it wasn't dad. He did not have fatherly feelings for her. But anyway, moving on.
He was the authority figure.
He was, but he was not feeling very fatherly.
It's like the Admiral and Mac on JAG. Whoa, don't go there.
I don't even know who you're referring to. Next up is Two Broke Girls. Peter.
Is this the one where they...
They go to the fancy making
the cupcake
cupcakes.
Place. Yeah, so the Jersey Girls.
Yes.
Who think they're fancy, but they're low class Jersey Girls. Or
right. Exactly.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I like. You know, the only thing that I know people don't love Two Broke Girls. Only
no, we
thing
don't.
That
I
the
like
thing that kind of bugs me about Two Broke Girls, but I like the show. I don't think it's great. Is I do feel, and I'm not a big. What's that blonde? I want to say bimbo. The blonde girl from Baywatch that loves animals.
Pamela Anderson.
Pam Anderson.
Yeah, I'm not a huge... I mean, I don't want to hurt animals or anything, but I'm not a big... I don't have pets. But I got to say, it really feels kind of like, do we really need to have this poor horse? Like, I mean, it just feels like it's a horse and
doesn't get
and
to do anything.
It's not that great.
It is a very
strange
guy.
And I feel bad for the horse all the time. Like, that's my... I know it's kind of weird. I'm sure they don't hurt the horse, but I'm always like, why do we have to have this poor horse on the show? But anyways, beyond that, the main thing was that Kat Dennings' character... she can make cupcakes, but she doesn't necessarily make cupcakes pretty because that's her whole personality. She's very crass. She says what she feels. So of course her cupcakes aren't going to be what these people say a good cupcake of the frost is supposed to be like. You know, but I mean,
the joke of calling her Battlefield Earth. I thought that was pretty
funny. That was good. But I enjoy the show. I mean, you know, the thing for me with a sitcom is basically, do I like the energy of the actors and do I like
when the characters kind of butt up against each other, which is why I show like Community, I think, works maybe a little more. I mean, not just because of the writing, because you've got a bigger group. Two Broke Girls, really, it's basically them and then a few ancillary characters.
I remember you told me you didn't like the guy who owns the...
Well, yeah, I don't really know why Han has to be so...
Stereotypical?
He's so stereotypical.
The ethnic stereotypes on that show are shameful.
He's so, like... I mean, the one where he gets the girl, he's dancing the girl, of course he's so short. And I was just
he really is short.
I know, but it's like that whole thing. I was just like, oh, come on, man. But Tom, you don't like the show, but I still enjoy it. I like Kent Denning. I like her one-liners. And
I like the leads, but I gave it 4 episodes, and it just, it's the same thing week after week, the same jokes.
I can see what you're saying.
I have students who are very offended by the ethnic humor, Asian students and Russian students. It's like, oh, come on, seriously?
Oh, yeah, the
Russian
fry
guy.
Cook guy. Yeah, he's pretty terrible.
I think they would be better off if they did more Laverne and Shirley and less... Two and a half men type.
I would agree. But I still like it though. But I would agree.
Yeah, I do think it's rather offensive. But I work, considering the show I work on, which I won't name. I think I'm immune to it at this point.
I know a lot of the critics have been very disappointed, saying if they had known this was going to be the trajectory of the first set of episodes, they would not have put it on their best lists of the new shows.
No. But I mean, I do think that. Because it is a sitcom, which means that it's not really... I mean, I guess... Oh, also, kind of a weird thing. There's not much of an arc, except that they're trying to get the money.
Right.
But then they'll do things where I'm like, okay, that's got to be like $500. And at the end, it'll be $400. New total, $450. And I'm like, what? How is it only $50? Like, I don't understand the math behind their totals at all.
It's sitcom
math. I know, but I'm just like, what? What's going on with it? And it sounds like I'm complaining, but I do like the show still. I clearly like the show, those characters, more than the... Although I will say that Whitney show, because it's her show, right? Whitney
Cummings.
I will say that while Whitney is still not a very good show, like, I gotta say that one, because I do try to watch all sitcoms, that one... strangely not as bad as, like, I'm not, I don't love it or anything, and I like Two Broke Girls more, but like I can kind of see like why Whitney Cummings is kind of like a TV person. I can kind of see it now that I've watched 4 episodes of that or whatever, but I clearly like Two Broke Girls more, you know?
Boy, you deserve the Medal of Perseverance.
I just like sitcoms. I can watch, just the way like Libby, I can watch pretty much give any kind of drama or sci-fi drama or whatever a chance. I can pretty much give any sitcom a chance. Doesn't mean I like them all. But really, like, I can pretty much have any of them on, and even if it's terrible, I can pretty much watch it. Wow. Like, I like that format, you know, so.
I think he's an aberration, but that's okay. That's why he's on the show, because he makes up for my failings, which is I can't watch
my failings.
No, it's my failing. Yeah. I can't watch a lot of sitcoms, so that
life's
works out.
Life's too short for bad TV.
That's true.
Agree.
Yes, that is true. I agree.
All right, one thing I wanted to mention is that I've been talking about Unforgettable on the podcast for a while. And I think I'm done.
Took you long enough.
Well, no, I really like the woman and the guys from Nip Tuck, so I wanted to give them a shot. And the premise originally in the pilot was kind of cool. But about 5 episodes in, the premise is kind of tired.
Oh.
And I find her flashing back to... Because the guys, they used to date, and now they broke up, and now he's dating someone else, and he's happy. And she randomly will flash back to the two of them in bed together. And it is the most disturbing thing. I think it's supposed to be romantic. I think the way they intend it is that the two of them are this romantic couple you're supposed to be cheering for. But the fact that she has to actively decide to go into that memory, because they've made it very clear that's how she has her memories. So for her to actively go back into this memory of the two of them either in bed together, or like he had said something to her in like real time and then he walks off and then she remembers a conversation where he's like, I love you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm kind of like, that's creepy. Like for me, it feels creepy to me. It doesn't feel like I should be cheering for this couple. I'm like, you should get a restraining order against this woman, you know?
It's stalkery.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, but she's the only one, of course, who knows that that's what she's doing, but...
Except for the viewers, it's
really creepy to me, and I just... And the mystery of the crime is not good. I mean, there's so many procedurals, and so the mystery of whodunit is not interesting enough, so you gotta, like, get me to care about the characters, but I don't like her anymore. I liked her at the beginning, but now I find her creepy. So I think I'm done. No more discussion of Unforgettable. All right. Next, I really want to talk about for like 5 seconds is NCIS, since none of you plebs watch it, and I hate you all. But NCIS was really good this week because we got to meet an ex-wife that we've heard about a lot, because the whole thing about Gibbs is he's had four wives. The first one died, and the other three are ex-wives, because he's tried, basically after the first one died, he tried to replace her and start a life again, but he figures out that he's so in love with the first wife, it's just not happening. So he's tried to do all these replacement women, and it's never worked. So the third ex-wife, I think this one is, we've seen her from afar because one of his best friends on the show also married her and had a kid with her and got divorced. And so their big bond is that they married the same woman. So this episode, she's in trouble, and she calls both of them. It's like, I need your help. And so the whole case is really uncomfortable. Neither one of them wants to work with her, and both of them are like, no, you deal with her. So that brings a little comedy to the show. But the heartbreak was at the end where Gibbs is, you know, she comes to see him and thank him for helping her and all that. And she basically gets out some of her issues that she had, because the reason she left him was because he was still in love with his first wife. And she's got all this residual anger about it, and it kind of comes out, and she says something kind of cold to him, which I was like, ooh. But what was really interesting is she's been married twice after him, but what she tells him, because his wife that he loved was Shannon, and he was like, nobody could compare to Shannon, you kept trying to replace her, and it never worked, blah, blah, blah. And she just tells him, you were my Shannon. And I was like, oh. Because he basically admitted that he didn't love her, that he just kind of liked her. And so for her to say that at the end was just like crush. And I found that very moving because I'm a girl. anyway, thumbs up. That was a really great episode. All right, moving on to discussion. Next up is Psych. And you're just laughing at the thought of Psych. I like it.
I love this show. It's just delightfully silly. I mean, I love that they change their opening credits at the drop of a hat.
Oh, right. The opening credits change like almost every week. It's great. It depends on like what they're doing. In this week's episode, there's a comic book, right?
Comic book.
So they did the credits like a comic book. They did the whole freeze frame and pow, kapow, and all that other stuff. And so they totally changed the credits for this opening. And it was funny because their superhero characters were so silly.
Psych Man and Tap Man.
Tap Man was great. And then we're like, what is your superpower? You tap dance. It's like, how do you fight someone? He's like, sand in the eye. Nobody can fight with sand in their eye. And it was so bad. It was great. But then they did actually do a... They did the... Oh, and
Sean?
Sean, thank you. I just liked his name. Sean was Psych Man as a kid or whatever that was. But then as an adult, he was the Catch. Which was silly. So he basically dressed up as a catcher from a baseball game. Just like that was it. And that was his superhero costume. And somebody's like, what are you, a turtle? And he's like, oh, that's a good name. I could be the turtle. What are you doing? So watching them fight bad guys in their goofy outfits was pretty funny.
Well, it wasn't much of an outfit.
Yeah, no, but it was silly. And then the twist was the superhero that Sean was trying to
upstage.
Thank you, upstage. I was like, wow, I've lost vocabulary today. So that guy ends up actually being a criminal. Like, that was a nice twist because I didn't see that.
I thought they telegraphed that it was the mild-mannered reporter.
Right. The beginning, like, you knew it was the reporter who was the superhero.
And they went out of the way to make him look like a Clark Kent wannabe.
Right.
But the red herring was Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block.
Right.
Was the new police officer.
I was like, why is everybody all, like? I was like, oh, he looks familiar, but I couldn't figure out. I just thought he was an actor that I didn't know.
Oh, no. It was Joey.
Well, they did the outtakes.
The psych outs.
The psych outs. I was like, and he looked very upset about them making him do it, too. He did not look happy about that.
You think so?
Yeah, he was like, I don't want to do it. He was like, I think they were playing. Oh, okay. Because he just walked away, like, after he did it for 5 seconds, he was like, I'm gone. But the episode, I thought, was the twist of him, the superhero, actually being a super criminal was pretty good. So he basically got all the other... His whole thing was he was fighting criminals, to take over the territory or take over the money and stuff. I was like, oh, that was actually a pretty good idea.
I thought it was interesting that they were capitalizing on this whole real-life superheroes craze.
Right.
HBO did a documentary about it, and there was this guy in Seattle who just got caught and busted by the police.
Right.
So, but it was a fun episode.
Yeah, Psych is always fun. All right. Next up, Modern Family.
That's good. This episode, the beginning, Cam and Mitch and their friend are at a bar, and Cam thinks the waitress is flirting with him, and they suddenly get to this bet that, you know, he could be a straight guy and pick up a girl. And, of course, the woman is Leslie Mann, who is Judd Apatow's wife, and she's always...
funny.
Interesting role for her, because she's usually funny, but she's always kind of like a mean, funny person. And here, she's kind of this, like, person you kind of feel bad for, because you're like, oh, she's falling in love with Cam, and, you know, whatever. But no, I thought, yeah, like, really funny. And, of course, in the end, we realized that she wanted, like, a gay best friend.
Right.
She never thought he was straight at all. But, I mean, no, I love that kind of stuff. And that's another, talking about sitcoms, another thing I like. I like characters being given some challenge. Like, I bet you can't blankety blank. And then, of course, they have to...
Well,
you know, do what they can to succeed in everything.
And
his scam was good, but I was like, would this really work? And then she, because he basically does the, oh, hey, oh my God, we haven't seen such a long time. And she does the, oh, well, you know, I was in a car accident, so I was in a coma. I'm so sorry. And then, of course, he is like, oh my God, I'm sorry, it was just an act. And then she's like, gotcha. Like, yeah. That was all pretty good, you know? Like,
Great is he was like, how did you know I was gay? And she was like, dramatic hand flare. She's like, I don't dramatically hand flare.
Great for you to do on the podcast.
Yes,
so
right,
as
I'm
see that.
Physically yeah, like, yeah. doing hand flares. But
he calls his drink a diggly doo or some weird name.
Some strange drink.
Yeah, like some. And then the other two stories was Gloria and Phil?
Phil.
No,
Phil's
his
son.
Jay
and Gloria.
Gloria and Phil have two friends.
Jay, sorry.
Gloria and Jay have two friends. That guy, Chaz Palminteri, and
Jennifer Tilly.
I was going to say Meg Tilly. And they go out dancing, and Gloria wants to go dancing, but then obviously Jay obviously comes through. But that actually I thought was okay. You know why? Because once again, the only scene I liked was when Manny was teaching him how to dance.
That was fun.
Because like, it's like, you need Manny in the mix, and I was like, ah, he's got nothing to do.
I do like the fact that the drugs that he took was a baby aspirin.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Oh, that was good. Yes, that was good.
And he's all brilliant. Like looking at his hands.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a bit like a bear's chewing
aspirin.
Yes,
that was funny. I did like that. And then the third is Phil is making a treehouse
for Luke,
but really he's making the treehouse for himself, and he misses not having a friend.
And don't forget Claire and...
Actually, that was good. Claire...
Yeah, it's like, I have nothing to overcome.
What's the girl? Haley is like, yeah, I have nothing to write a good story about, or whatever. She mentioned some students who, like, what's the one student? She's like, that story writes itself. I forgot what it was. Like,
something about her mom was abusive.
College essay.
Yeah, but...
Oh, right. So she's like, are you really starting this letter, dear college? she's like, oh, go look at that tree over there. She'd get her out of the car.
Right.
You know, but I was surprised. The only thing that was great, and she leaves her there. The only thing was, how did she make Haley leave her car and the phone? I mean, sorry, her phone in the car. How did she make her do that?
I don't know.
Because no teenage girl doesn't have that phone on her all the time. You know what I mean? So I was
right.
Like, how did she... Because when she comes back, she's like
I didn't
have... Let me there, I had my phone. I didn't have my phone. Like, I'm like, okay, well, how did that happen? But,
well, I mean, when she got her to leave, remember when they were leaving? She's very much like, we have to go right now, you know?
This is very important.
Let's go right now. So she might have gotten her to get in the car without the phone. Because she literally just grabbed her and like, let's go.
I can see that. But yeah, of course, Modern Family. Now look, I mean, we were just talking about sitcoms. Obviously, to me, that's like the height of a really good sitcom.
Yeah.
Two Broke Girls is not the height of a really good sitcom. But I still like it. But no,
yeah.
obviously, Modern Family, and that show's working on all cylinders. It's like,
yeah.
It's really well made. The writing's great. The acting, the whole thing. I mean... So it's I feel like I'm like, well, no, Two Broke Girls isn't in that league, but...
No.
Speaking of comedies, next up, Big Bang.
Which I missed.
It was fun.
I tell you, bringing the women in last season
great.
Was
brilliant stroke. Really needed.
Brilliant.
Yes, I agree.
And what's funny is now that the two groups have kind of merged, and so the episode starts off with the four women and the four guys are all having a dinner, and it's weird because the conversation is now, instead of Sheldon leading the conversation, which he normally does, now the women are talking about the wedding and wedding dresses and stuff.
Wait, did you say four women? Am I forgetting?
No, sorry, it's three. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So did they add?
Yeah, concentrating. Okay. What are they eating?
Oh, yeah, I don't know what they're eating, but it was...
like some kind of tuna noodle casserole.
Well, that was the great part, is they're actually talking wedding plans and stuff like that in wedding dresses, and Sheldon is like acting like someone's torturing him. He's like, how is this our dinner discussion? You know, he's like, it's your fault for bringing these women in here, you know, so...
Keeps on blaming Penny.
Yes.
Oh, he blamed, yeah.
Yeah, he blamed Penny. I blame you for this, bringing your other friends in here, but then the real conflict comes because... the women decide to go dress shopping and ditch Amy because Amy apparently is the Sheldon of the group.
Well, that's not really a surprise, but yeah.
Inappropriately creepy with the others.
Oh, yeah, very. And she's like, let's do some ceremony where we bathe each other. It's like, what? So they were like, yeah, that's a bad idea. So they ditch her, but the problem is they're texting because of how communication works now. They text Howard and ask him about a dress that they're looking at, but Howard happens to be in the same room with Sheldon and Amy. So then Amy finds out, hey, they're shopping without me. So now conflict, and Amy goes into this spiral of depression about how her life sucks and her friends always end up ditching her.
I love when Sheldon yells at the guy. The guy said, get your women under control. It's like...
Well, I like when she's sadly, creepily playing the harp.
Because that is her angst. This is like, this is how you know I'm sad. I'm playing the harp right now.
Or when she's recounting all the times that this has happened before in her life.
And what's great is Sheldon, she wants Sheldon to give her comfort. And first she's like, let's just have sex. And he's like, yeah, no. So then he negotiates. He throws out another option. It ends up being a haggling session.
Oh,
which
yeah,
is hilarious.
Like, I'll get you drunk on wine coolers, and then we can get to second base. It's like, I'm not going to do that.
No. And they end up settling.
Then it becomes a bargaining.
Yeah, it's all bargaining. They're going back and forth. He's like, such a nice beverage. And she's like, well, how about this? And this is my final offer. So they end up snuggling. And
was that weird to see him snuggle?
He feels awkward. You could tell he's a little awkward, but it's cute. It's actually cute.
It was cute.
Yeah. But she's like, as he snuggles with her, she's like, second base is right there, I'm just saying, you know. It was pretty good. But then that leads to his rant, where he's like, you need to get your women under control. I spent the whole evening snuggling instead of working on my Death Star, you know. It's like, so it's, I was laughing through the whole episode. I mean, as much as Modern Family is great, and I'm not taken away from that at all, I think Big Bang is my second favorite, mm-hmm. just because they always make me laugh. I think any episode that's not about Leonard, because Leonard brings the show down, but any episode that's not about Leonard, it's about any of the other guys, and it's hilarious. So,
what would be your, Tom, what's your second? Or is Modern Family your number one?
Oh, yeah.
So what's your second?
For comedy?
So mine's probably like Parks or Community or something. But I do like Big Bang. I mean,
I'm behind on Parks and Community.
This is pretty good Parks.
Mainly because we don't usually discuss them.
Right.
But I would give Parks an edge over over Big Bang.
Yeah.
What about you, because... Amy?
As far as
number one,
can you repeat the question?
Like, what are your
favorite
sitcoms? Top three or
on the air?
Okay. I really like Modern Family. Community has been really good lately, and then I guess my third one would be. I still kind of like The Office. Still has its moments.
You're the one.
Yeah,
I like it, but I kind of, when we started this new TV season, Tom was very big on saying he didn't think the Ed Helms leader thing worked, and I was like, well, let's just give it a chance, and I still watch The Office, but I would say I'm kind of agreeing with Tom now.
It's a completely different show.
It is a different show, although I will say I still do like the small stuff we get with Spader.
All
right. Like, I just like him.
Yeah.
Speaking of comedies, now we're to Community, which I forgot to watch this week. I'm up to it except for this week's.
Community was, Amy, why don't you remind us, what was the premise?
Okay, well, there are several ones. There was Pierce, who became a gay icon because his wipes that he invented were used by the gay community.
And actually,
Right, and there's a video, a YouTube clip that they watch, and I'm almost positive that the drag queen in that clip was one of the finalists on RuPaul's Drag Race, which I watched. And I was like, hey, that's that guy from RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, so I'm sorry, go ahead, Amy.
And then the other part was, well, let's see. I keep forgetting his name. He got recruited into this weird air conditioning school test. Troy. Sorry, yeah. Recruited into the air conditioning school test, and he found he had an aptitude for plumbing as well.
Right, and then this leads to the ultimate villain being John Goodman.
Oh, yeah. John Goodman. Yeah,
because right now he's kind of like the regional principal or something.
Yeah.
Because he's above the bald guy.
Right.
He's one of the deans.
Yeah.
Right. And, and you find out his school actually has all the money.
Right. It was pretty funny. It was kind of like a secret society, and Troy's basically like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not in it. And then just Goodman's like, oh, you know, we'll see about that. It's pretty good. Like, it was pretty funny.
All right. Yeah, and then they also throw a party, or Pierce decides to throw a party called the Gay Bash.
Oh, right. Of course. He would think that that's an acceptable title.
Well, because we also meet Pierce's dad, who looks like, would you say looks like Colonel Sanders?
Not exactly. But he just looks ridiculous.
Looks like
he has
Andy
a ridiculous wig that's more like a helmet made out of elephant.
Right, he makes a joke about that, about why his hair is his wig or whatever is like that. It's not Andy Dick, but it reminds me of Andy Dick, who's been in Community. The guy has makeup on and stuff, and he's kind of spindly. But he's even worse racist than Pierce. I mean, he's beyond.
Wow.
Like, because Britta's like, I guess I'm the only person that you're okay with. And he's like, what are you, a Swede or something like that? He has this whole rant about the Swedes. It's like, you are also inferior. Like, what? You know, like, so yeah, it was pretty funny.
All right. So thumbs up for Community.
Yep.
Next up is Vampire Diaries.
Which I've been really waiting for because it was the originals and
everything. Yes, and was it everything you hoped for?
Pretty much, yeah. I thought it was pretty good. There was so much information that we were getting.
Well, what was so weird is it was like, there was this point of the information dump where Elena was like, all right, are you going to continue with the story? And I was like, oh yes, is that what we're doing?
Right,
So yeah, it was huge information dump. But it was good.
Oh, it was totally good. Yeah. It was totally, I mean, the only weak thing to me, if I had to, was probably Damon and Stefan at the bar. That was okay, you know. But it wasn't a huge deal, but that was probably...
I couldn't quite figure out what Damon was doing. Like, he said basically Damon was doing his own version of breaking Stefan out of the thing without stabbing him and leaving him locked up.
Mm-hmm.
But
right,
I couldn't
figure
out exactly what his plan was, which got interrupted anyway.
Right, because that's one of those things to me where I feel like whatever Damon's plan wasn't significant. What's significant is that who shows up.
Right.
And that's what's... Which, of course, he couldn't have planned.
Right.
You know, he's about to rip his heart out and everything.
Well, what was great was Michael showed up. They're like, how are you a great hunter if you can't find Klaus? He was like, yeah, I found you guys. And I was like, that's pretty good. So I was impressed by that.
I like how he puts his hand into Stefan's...
No,
Damon's. Sorry, into Damon's and starts massaging it. And it's done completely just with sound effects.
Right,
yeah,
he doesn't
see
anything.
You don't see it, but
right,
you know exactly what's going on.
And well, and Damon's terrified look
and
everything.
And the
right?
acting.
And actually, so a good interesting thing, because I was like, well, what do you do? Because Damon's like, you know, he's like, well, he's your brother, Stefan, aren't you going to help him? And he's like, well, the switch has been turned off. And so I was kind of like, yeah, how are they going to play this? You know, what can Stefan do to help, even though he's...
Because
been
he's got the, because he's been
right.
compelled.
And so he came to, his answer was, well, look, I can't tell you where Klaus is or whatever, but I can probably get Klaus here.
Right.
Right, which was
the outside,
middle ground,
yeah, found a loophole. But that was the thing that was interesting, is that even though the conditioning is not completely broken with Stefan, no matter what, he's still going to care about his brother.
Right.
And that's the thing, is I liked Elena saying that at the very end. She was like, I can't necessarily get him to love me again, but his love for you is greater, and that's gonna be the key to breaking it.
Right.
And that was pretty good.
I thought that was really interesting. I like how they played off the thing with the cave and the hieroglyphics and all that.
Yes,
that was
interesting too.
I mean, it's like Alaric actually knows a little something about history.
Look at that. Look at
that.
Well,
isn't he a history teacher?
I know, but that's the thing.
We've never seen it exist.
When do we see him in the classroom?
And I liked, usually I don't like this in Origins or whatever, but like I liked how they were like, you know, with every blessing came this curse. He's like, you know, sunlight, you know. Then, of course, they get the witches to make the ring. Or, like, people would talk about us and we couldn't enter their homes. It was really good. I was like, oh, this is all pretty good way of, like, creating the mythology of what is a vampire and everything.
Right.
Like, that was all... Even though normally, if you pull it off, sometimes I don't like it in shows. I always think it's too obvious and stuff. But actually, it's really good. I was like, oh, like, fascinating, you know.
And
so,
what we didn't anticipate was the hunger.
Yeah,
you know, like when they said
that,
that was pretty good.
No, I thought, yeah, of course. Thumbs up. Last week's thumbs up. I mean, now this is a great new, this is the big story that we've been waiting for. I guess I'm wondering now, because Vampire Diaries does things so fast, maybe we're going to get to Klaus and Michael quick. Maybe it's not the finale.
Next week's episode
showed
Klaus back.
Next week is the...
I watched it on Hulu. I didn't get the trailer.
Next week is the mid-season finale. And they said, the surprising, shocking mid-season finale.
So they show that Klaus shows back up.
Yeah.
What was the name of the town?
It's
Falls.
Mystic Falls.
Right. So he shows back up, and then what? Did they just show...
I mean, it was just a quick trailer. But basically, he's back, and he's facing up against Michael. So, yes, I'm excited.
Very excited.
And I like the fact that Rebecca now has her loyalty in question. Because
she knows the truth.
Right, her whole thing is...
But she still loves her brother.
Yeah, but...
She told Elena, look, just so you know, I will kill you. Like, I believe
she said all of that before she found out that he killed her mother.
But it's still her brother.
But
she made that one point where she said something about, like, look, I mean, who else am I going to spend the rest of my life with?
Yeah, but the thing is she thought that her father was the enemy. She thought that her father had killed her mother
and
he was the enemy. But
and the
now
killed the mother.
Yeah, and now she's kind of like, well, now she has her father back if she wants.
That's true. And when are we going to get...
Although her father is a jerk.
When are we going to get Elijah back?
He's not that big. Elijah's... He's got a thing in him.
Yeah, we can just get him back.
That's true.
Stefan knows where he's located. Like,
but he's compelled to
right. So,
but yeah, I'd like Elijah back.
Only thing
too.
I was disappointed in a tiny thing was in the finale of season 2, when we see them putting Elijah away in this warehouse, and I was thinking, oh, okay, well, Stefan knows where this is, but he can't tell anybody. I thought there was something... Oh, no. Before that, he says something like, you know what, I know where our family is. I can show you. And I always kind of thought that meant there was a lot of original.
Well, and they still...
It's like there's just Rebecca.
No,
well, because the kid died from the werewolf.
Right, but they also insinuated that there were more. Because remember, she was like, our family was there and they had more children.
But then we never seen
them
or
anything.
So it's like these Cylons.
Well,
they don't want to show them because
exactly.
They haven't cast them yet.
Exactly.
But if they need more originals, they can do that.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Because I feel like I want to see even more of them.
Well,
but,
they
know,
insinuated
so.
That there were more. They just didn't want to cast anybody.
Okay.
So we just didn't see it.
I guess I missed that.
Right.
It's
the ace up the sleeve.
Right. All right, so...
Yeah, great.
Good. You want to talk about Secret Circle? Because I'm a week behind on that. I totally just...
Are you liking it?
I'm liking Secret Circle. Basically, the big brother, the dead kid.
He's so ridiculously, obviously evil that I just feel like...
Is he more evil than that evil, the blonde, annoying girl?
Basically...
No, the brunette?
No, he's actually evil. He's killing people. I mean, he's evil.
Oh, because the other girl's more just like a spoiled rich
kid.
This
guy is actually evil. He is actually killing people. But I feel like if he had a mustache, he'd be twirling. You know,
I don't think the actor's good enough to twirl.
And that's my problem. He's pretty. He's really good to look at, but that's about all
you
got.
But you like the show, though.
I do. His acting seemed a little bit better this week's show, maybe because he wasn't trying to do too much heavy lifting. But the big reveal is that they find they go up to Grandpa's cabin.
Right, and they find the body.
And well, the way they find it is cool. Faye starts having visions of this little girl in red boots.
Okay.
And like a raincoat, and it turns out it's her as a child.
Oh, okay.
And then the main girl, the new blonde witch, can see her too, and so. The apparition of young Faye leads them to the grandfather's body. She puts her hands in the water and the water starts bubbling up and the body rises.
Oh.
And they know that somebody killed him.
Right.
And basically it's more machinations.
But what happened to the grandmother? Because the grandmother got knocked out.
The grandmother got knocked out by Gale.
Right, because they stole the crystal.
Yeah, they stole the crystal. Basically, he rummaged through the kids' spell books and found a spell of forgetfulness. So grandmother was returned, and she said, "Oh, I never went into the house, but Cassie found her scarf in the house." So, well, that's odd.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom. Right. And then basically, Gale Harold told Natasha Henstridge that the power has shifted. I'm not taking your orders anymore
because he's got the crystal.
Because he's got the crystal.
Yeah.
So it's they're aligning. But the biggest reveal is the fact...
Well, because when he followed her orders, he ended up killing a kid, which right. he really doesn't like.
Right. But the biggest reveal is the fact that Cassie's father
is an evil guy.
Was this bad guy. And so Cassie can do solo magic.
Right. Because she actually exemplified last week's episode where she set this dude on fire, which was awesome.
So
that was pretty good.
It's interesting. I mean, it's watchable. Obviously, these kids were mostly cast because they're pretty, not because yes. they're great actors.
Except for Thomas Decker, who I don't know why he was cast. I don't think he's particularly good-looking, and I don't think he's a particularly good actor.
Is that the guy from Sarah Connor?
Yeah, Sarah Connor.
Well, I kind of don't mind that actor. He's not a great actor.
He's not a great actor.
And he's not, you're right. Yeah, he's actually exactly what you just said. But, like, I don't mind him.
The problem is he's supposed to be, like, the second lead.
But he's he might not be a super good looking and he might not be a great actor, but he does have and he did this on as John Connor, he has a quality where you kind of empathize with him and where you kind of like want to trust him and mm-hmm. feel, so maybe that's why they cast him.
He's yeah, that kind of but I get you, but as I didn't think he could carry the lead in Sarah Connor, and then he wasn't the lead. And once he wasn't the lead, the show was much better.
And, yeah. But he's not the lead on Secret Circle. He's not the lead, so it's okay.
But and Secret Circle, it's ensemble, but sort of. He's the lead guy.
He's yeah.
He is the lead guy. Killed off that's, the end.
Yeah.
That's true.
And okay. So I kind
of
feel
wait,
like
wait, wait. He killed one.
Yeah,
of them.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, they killed.
They killed
like he accidentally died.
No,
not an accident.
No, all right. They are killing people on this show. It's that's pretty cool. So I like Secret Circle. I just
I'm interested to see where this first season arc is going.
Right,
because it seems a little bit over the place, all over the place, but it's enough to keep me engaged.
Right, I agree. Next up, we want to talk about Person of Interest. We didn't talk about it last week, I don't think, but this week's was a really good episode because one, it's the guy, the father from Veronica Mars. What's his name? Enrico.
Enrico Colantani.
Oh my goodness, I love that.
It was so good. And how about that twist?
That's the great thing about Person of Interest is you're watching the whole episode, and this guy is just a school teacher. He teaches high school, teaches whatever, English or whatever, and he's just mild-mannered guy. He doesn't like guns, and the Russian mob is after him because he witnessed a crime. It all is cut and dry, totally makes sense. You're watching the whole episode, you think you're on, because I was like, oh, I guess this episode's not going to have a twist, and I was
Rug
wrong.
Pulls out.
Brilliant. It was brilliant. It was because you get all the way to the end of the episode. He saved the day. He saved the guy's life. He's captured the Russian. And the Russian's like, yeah, you be careful because you're working for your boss and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm working for my boss. What do you mean?
And then you don't know what's going on.
He's like, you're in the middle of a situation and you don't know what's happening right now. And he's like, holy crap. Like, he has this dawning moment where he's like, oh.
The Jim Caviezel character?
Yeah. Reese. Where he realizes that the guy that he's been protecting the entire episode is actually...
The Kingpin.
The Kingpin. And he was just like, oh, son of a... You know?
And the thing that was cool is the Kingpin's name is Elias. And throughout the episode, we're told we don't know who he is.
No aliens.
We don't know what he looks like.
Right.
He's out there. And at the very end, after they saved his life,
they figure out that it's him.
It's him.
And not only that, he totally gets away. So that's the thing that's great, because he has now made this huge error where he has saved this huge mob boss that's making moves on territories and killing lots of people. So he's like, I just saved this guy's life. And he's like, how many more numbers are going to come up because of what I just did?
Wow.
And so that was pretty good.
I like how they're mixing baddie of the week or crime of the week with the mythology.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really coming together. I'm really enjoying the show.
I have a feeling that he might be... an adversary for them.
Oh yeah,
because I like how all the pieces are starting to come into play with good cop, bad cop, keeping eye on good cop for them.
Right.
And just now with Elias out there as like this.
Well, he's now seen how they work.
Yes.
He knows exactly.
Yes. And he knows they exist. More important.
Right. Most people don't even know they exist, and he knows what he looks like.
Yep.
So the whole way that they work is they keep their anonymity. Nobody knows what they look like. Nobody knows they exist. That's how they save people's lives. Now Elias not only knows they exist, he knows what they look like. He's gotten a call from them before. Well, they can change their numbers. But so his thing is Elias is like, well, you saved my life, so I'm not going to kill you. This is my thank you to you for saving my life. He said, however, if we run into each other again, all bets are off. And he's like, well, I'm going to stop you. He was like, you know, you're welcome to try. So I thought that was pretty good. And then he goes up against the Russian kid who's actually the dude from Dollhouse, who's a great actor. I love him.
Enver, can't pronounce his last name.
Who, Dollhouse? You
know, he was
a Russian dude?
Yeah.
Enver
Jokaj?
Like that guy. Yeah,
he's yeah. Good. Yeah, he was really good.
How do you pronounce it?
Enver Jokaj.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, and
he's good, though.
Yeah, he's really good. And actually, since he, at the beginning of the episode, he was just the background guy. He didn't have any lines. And I was like, are you wasting this dude on no lines? But then he gets captured and he has lots of stuff to do. So I was like, okay, fine. But it was a really good episode. And what was cool was they also lost communication. It was funny because they're making jokes at the iPhone, too, which is awesome. He gets into a fight and his iPhone 4 gets crushed. Shattered. And it just shows the shattered glass on both sides. And I was like, nicely done. So basically that he can't communicate with Finch. So that creates another obstacle. And that was all pretty good because Finch basically had to get out and figure out what was going on and figure out different ways.
And Bad Cop now knows what Finch looks like.
That's true because Finch had to communicate with him in order to get stuff moving. So that was a pretty good episode. So thumbs up. Person of Interest is really taking off. I love it. Next is Prime Suspect. It is, however, on the fence about renewal. The ratings are not very good.
I didn't like the last two episodes as much as I liked the pilot.
I like this one.
I liked it. I didn't love it. Here's the thing I really liked about this. Because one of my pet peeves is when they have a naval officer on one of these shows, the Law and Orders especially, and they make him out to be either a bad guy or a complete perv. And this one, they just say, he's a good guy who made a bad mistake.
Well, I like that.
And I like the way they handled that. And I like the way that it echoed her plot line of her having slept with Costello.
As a mistake
and recovering from
that. Oh my goodness, that was so crass. I could not believe those guys.
Yeah, those guys. Well, I'm glad the one guy called him on it.
Yeah.
It's about time, because that's getting real old.
I mean, it was like they're in the middle of a murder investigation, talking in front of other people, and they're insinuating that she slept her way to the top and talking about, oh, did you sleep at this hotel with your boss? You know, it was just like...
Well, the irony is that she had.
I know. Well, that was how she got... That's how the other guy knew, because he was security. He had seen her going there with her boss. And so then he's just telling other people, and just... He's literally calling the other hotel and telling the dude. I was like, are you kidding me?
I'm kind of over how they're... She's proved herself after right. these few months that she... Yes... How she got this position may be dubious, but she's earned her keep.
Right.
And did you notice, by the way, we saw the hat briefly? She didn't wear it, but we saw the hat.
Her Which hat? The one she had her hat on.
Did
the,
she have
the
a hat?
Yeah, she wore it.
Okay, I didn't
see it. She always has her hat.
Yeah, she wore a hat.
I like the hat.
But I just, for some reason, I don't know. There's something about it. I wish they would stop playing that aspect of it. It's like, get over it.
Well, all the other cops, I think, at this point have gotten over it. It's just that one guy. Like, the rest of them have seen her work. They've seen her solve cases. And they're cool with her now.
I did love the fact that she went to the range just to show off.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. That was great. Because they all had to get requalified. So that was the whole thing, is all of them had to go to the range, get requalified. And this guy, who's been talking all episode about how she's not qualified to do her job, talking smack... He gets in there and he gets 45 out of 50 and they're like, oh yeah, you passed. And so then he walks by and she's just finished shooting and the dude's like, she's like, how did I do? He's like, you never get out of the gray. What are you talking about? It's of like, course you got 100.
Perfect score.
Perfect score.
But you knew that a couple of weeks ago when you came in here. Like, what can I say? I like to shoot.
Yeah, and that was basically a snub at that dude to be like, look, you may think I'm not qualified, but I am. So yeah, that is starting to feel like at this point... He is more of a jerk than her. You know what I mean? So it really feels like at this point he should drop it. But anyway.
I thought the actual case was a little...
It was all right. I like her. I like watching her. So I don't even really worry about the case. I don't even remember it. But anyway, let's wrap that one up. Next up is Grimm. And this is the second episode of Grimm. Peter, have you seen Grimm at all?
Good, bad, or...
Amy, you've seen it, right?
I saw it, yeah.
What'd you think?
I like the take on the Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
I knew it was Goldilocks, but then I didn't even think about the Three Bears. Yeah. Of course it's Three Bears.
Three Bears.
I'm stupid. Never mind.
Well, the girl's name was Gilda.
Yeah,
Gilda.
I know, and I was like, oh, and they're sleeping in the different beds. And I was like, oh, it's Goldilocks and the Three Bears because she's
eating
sleeping.
Eating the food, drinking the
food.
Wine.
And she's going to the different beds, and they basically broke into the house. It was perfect. It was exactly like that. And
yeah, I was annoyed. Where's the third bed?
Oh, that's true. They only went in two beds. And each bed was bigger. Yeah. So I thought they did a good job with that. But
it's good that they had Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and Baby Bear, basically.
Yeah, right. That's true. Except that he had his two goofy friends
and
too.
And he had his
friends.
But yeah, that was very much the fairy tale. But for some reason, I thought Goldilocks at the beginning because of her name, and then I totally just was just watching the story, and it was more about, because it was about him learning about the Grimms and figuring stuff out, and information versus following instincts, because the instinct of the bears was to kill, and Papa Bear was like, we have to fight our instincts. You can't just follow your instincts. It's going to lead you down a bad road. And then you, at the end, you have the aunt, as she's dying, telling him, follow your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, ooh, that's an interesting mixed message. But then you also have the, what's the dude? What's his name?
Monroe?
Yeah, Monroe, thank you.
You mean the...
Lootbod. I can't say it. I was like, the blip blip blod. Anyway, Monroe, what was great is... He actually epitomizes that where his grandfather was beheaded and burned by a Grimm. Basically by their family. So his whole thing is, by rights, he should be trying to kill them, but he's fighting that instinct and working together with them. But what's great is when he went off through those bad guys.
Woo!
And
he's tore the guy's arm right off.
He
rips the guy's arm off.
That was so funny because he takes the one guy and he throws him. And then the other guy, I thought he was going to just, like, swing him around. And he reaches his arm to swing him around. And the whole arm just pulls off. And he just, like, he's like, oops. His reaction was like, ooh, I think I went a little too far on that.
Well, I love when he calls him up and says, you need to get down here. Because you told me to protect them, and I've been doing that, but I think we're too far.
Yeah, it's like, I think I messed up a little bit. That was great.
And then they run the guy down the hall on a gurney and with the ice chest.
With
after
the arm,
Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah, because I did not see the ripping of the arm coming. I was like, ooh.
It is called Grimm.
Yeah.
It is a 9 o'clock show.
But... Apparently, these guys were trying to kill, these other monsters have been trying to kill the aunt because they don't want the new Grimm to know more information. Though I thought it'd be easier just to kill both of them. I'm like, why are we not just killing them both? But apparently, I think they think that they can get him on their side, which is interesting. Yeah, they said they don't want him to know, because in the car, the conversation that they had in the car, where he's talking to the blonde and he's still sitting in his car, he's like, send somebody else to kill her because we don't want him to know any more information than he already does if we want him on our side. So
but why try so hard when she's dying of cancer anyway?
That's what I was saying.
Seriously,
I was like,
just let nature run its course.
She only had like a couple of days, but they were just afraid that in those couple of days
she would give more information.
Yeah. So, but I would think that would just make him more against the monsters by them doing that.
Man, I'm just counting down the days to the girlfriend buys the farm.
She's not going to make it. She's not going to make it. And that the aunt was like, you need to dump your girlfriend. You just need to. So I thought it's pretty good, but I still can't help but compare it to Supernatural, unfortunately for it. But, you know.
I think it's a little... It's higher concept than Supernatural.
I don't think so.
Well, no, if you just say fairy tales, fairy tale monsters in the real world.
That's not a higher concept. That's a simple concept.
No, but I mean, that's a high concept story is something that's easy to pitch and easy to understand. Supernatural has so much backstory.
Well, that's because at this point we're in season, what,
no, but still,
seven? But I mean, if Grimm was in season seven, it might have a lot of backstory too. I mean, season one of Supernatural didn't have a lot of
backstory. Season one is just, you know, two kids who...
the family...
Whose father...
Was a demon hunter.
Was a demon hunter. One wanted the life, one did not.
And that was pretty
their
simple.
Their father is missing and they need to take the life. And that's a pretty high concept.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was
like,
pretty simple. And that was season one.
But now
it's
so much
like,
bigger
than
that.
It's got so much mythology.
But I mean, wait till Grimm is... If Grimm makes it that long.
If Grimm survives. Well,
it's
Grimm
on NBC. What else they got?
That's true. All right. Wrapping that one up, next up is Supernatural.
Ooh.
And this week's episode follows last week's where the brothers had a huge fight. It was actually last week's episode was really good.
It was very good.
And so the brothers had a huge fight at the end and they broke up yet again. I have to say though, I was like, really? Again? Like they've done that so many times that it feels silly. However, I like how they just got them back together this week because they both got drawn to the same case. So they both showed up in the same town And they're like, all right, let's just work the case together. And at first, Sam was like, going to do the silent treatment. I was like, what are you, 12? Like, Sam was just not going to speak to Dean. I was like, whatever, man.
And Dean calls him on it.
Yeah. And Dean also has a really good moment where he basically is telling Sam, you know, you're being child. He's like, you couldn't kill her, so I did it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what family does.
And you were too emotionally attached.
Right. And so I took care of it. He's like, any other monster, you would have done it if you hadn't known her as a kid.
Of course, Sam's big problem was not really the killing of Amy per se, but the lying about the killing of Amy.
Mr. Liar all through season, what, 4 and 5? Like, seriously, Sam? Like, you've got to be kidding me. Sam lied to Dean for entire seasons. So I was like, I didn't have any sympathy for him. And Dean did say, I did feel guilty about that. But he was like, I was going to tell you the truth when I thought you could handle it and you didn't have Lucifer knocking on your door. So and everything he said totally made sense, you know? And I like that they actually just talk to each other. That never happens on this show. Though the reason, like you said, it was what was her name?
Ellen.
Ellen from Beyond the Grave.
Sends a message.
Yeah, she's like, talk about it, you idiots.
You idiot.
But this was a weird case because they go to a town where they're nothing but soothsayers and...
Psychics.
Like they go to a town full of psychics. So half of them are charlatans and half of them are actually psychics. So that's the thing that's kind of weird because you don't know who you're dealing with. And so they actually got people actually knew stuff about them, which was pretty cool.
I like the one, the brunette that Dean kind of has a thing for.
Right.
Who basically tells him, I read your body language.
Yeah. I'm not a psychic.
I can read people's body language.
Right. That was all pretty good. So that was a thumbs up episode. I really liked it. Next week looks silly. Because apparently Sam is getting married to whatever. I don't know. This looks stupid. But this week's episode I actually thought was really good. So thumbs up. Amy, did you watch it? No?
No.
I always ask you this and you always tell me you're behind on Supernatural.
Let's get woefully. To the long-awaited return of Peter Bishop to the Fringiverse.
Fringe is up next!
Yeah.
All right, Peter has been very excited about Fringe.
I've been pretty excited, and because we've been like 2 weeks of the stupid baseball, right? It feels like it's been forever.
The World Series is stupid baseball.
The last thing we saw was that Peter was back,
right?
But no one knows who he is, but he remembers everything.
Right.
Of course.
And actually... I don't know how it didn't occur to me that, you know, in this episode we see, they're like, okay, well, he's only going to talk to you, Walter.
Right.
You know, and he's claiming that his name is Peter Bishop, you know, and of course freaks Walter out and everything. And I love how we see Walter this time that he's doing some barbiturates that are putting him to sleep. What's going on? You know,
he's got adrenaline.
I'm like, supposed to sleep. This ghost has been haunting me. But I did like that. Did you think that, like, so Peter's whole existence with the two worlds is so hinged on that Observer saving him?
Right.
I don't know why I didn't put that together. And
because
the
Observer did say he saved their life.
Yeah,
I was like,
oh, that's pretty cool. That is, like, the linchpin of everything. Yeah, I mean, all the stuff with that was good. Okay, there's a moment in the episode where they're talking... Someone is talking to Olivia about Nina Sharp,
mm-hmm.
and it comes up that, like, she's like, well...
She raised her.
She raised
her.
Did I not know that?
In this universe.
This is in the new merged universe.
Yeah, this was not
from
the
orange credit universe.
Yes.
Because I was like, wait, what? Rewind?
It's the orangey-verse.
Okay, so... All right, yes. So that's why that is. But no, good episode. I even thought the case was fun with the see-through person. And although I will say, going back to Two Broke Girls, why? Two Broke Girls, you've got the stereotypical
Long Dong type goofy Asian guy. And of course in this you have the sneaky female, like, you know, Asian.
Which she's actually a friend of mine from back east.
Which is such a stereotype. I was like, and of course you can't trust her because she's Asian. You know, like,
well, I thought you couldn't trust her because she was a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
Yes, who chooses to most look Asian of all the people that she can look at?
Hot female Asian shapeshifter.
Sneaky Asian shapeshifter. Yeah, I don't even think that makes it worse because she can look like anybody. And they're like, oh, let's keep with the Asian one. That's the people will trust that she's sneaky, you know, so... but besides that, that guy who was the
scientist.
Yeah, that actor's always really good and everything. And like, but no, I was totally happy. You know, next week looks awesome. You know, so
Fringe is back on. I'm enjoying it. I mean, the whole
Fringe and Vampire Diaries, their new season. Oh, I know Fringe is actually four, right?
Yes.
They're one more season ahead. But yeah. these new current seasons have been very strong. Everything.
Yep.
So, but what were you gonna say? I'm sorry.
No, it's just that. The storyline right now is I'm really interested in what's going on with Peter and what he... Because right now, Walter thinks that Peter being there is a punishment and a temptation for him. So
right.
He doesn't want to help
him.
Right,
this is why he turns his back on him.
Right, but I'm just like, what the heck?
Which is interesting.
That actually broke my heart a little bit.
Oh, totally.
Out.
Especially
well,
because...
Well, Walter's the heart of the show.
Right.
I mean...
Because it's what he's wanted all his life. And now he's got it and he's freaking out.
But I mean, no, but in general, I would say he's the person who... If he is sad, I am sad. Like, I mean, well, that's the heart. I mean, he's the heart of the show. You know, so.
I thought it was interesting that they just hinted at, but didn't go further this week, about the connection between Peter and Olivia.
Oh, right.
Because Olivia's like, Olivia knows why Walter was having visions of Peter.
But she doesn't know
why she was having.
So, and he hasn't said, oh, yeah, because we were totally an item.
Right, that's true, that's true. And was she
we were totally
flirting
an item.
With that guy?
She was totally flirting with Lincoln,
Yeah.
Well, I like that.
Remember in the other verse,
she, her, and Lincoln
are an.
Oh, that's true. Oh, and did you guys pick up that? Well, I thought of it when I was watching it, and like Julia thought it was something else, and I was like, I'm pretty sure when the woman's like, oh, here's your hourly or whatever.
Yeah, the hourly reports, and then
the time sync is off, or
something
about time.
Is weird.
Remember the first season of Fringe? There's a moment when she's in the office of Broyles, and his desk is gone. And she's like...
Because she skipped universes.
Right. So is that what's going on? Because in the trailer for the new episode, they're like, all these things are converging weird with time. So I think that report is the first hint of what's going to happen more in the second episode, in the next episode.
Well,
I think that's what it is.
My question is, if the two universes are supposed to be, quote-unquote, peacefully coexisting...
Right.
Why are they sending invasion forces?
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, what's Walter it up to?
Well, of course, but the other thing, too, is that when we're talking about the universes being in harmony, that doesn't mean that there can't be people or beings on the other side that don't want that harmony.
Right.
So that's certainly possible.
But we haven't been back over there.
Since this season, yeah.
Right, that's true. That's true.
Meanwhile, in what used to be the Red Universe...
but no, it was good. I thought it was a good return. I'm anxious. You know, we want Peter. It's what you've been saying the whole time. I like what's going on. I have my heart out for Walter. But I do want the gang back together. Because, of course, the one thing we don't have is we don't have what Peter does. What Joshua Jackson does really well is he diffuses a lot of tension with humor. And he's not allowed to do that because of how because of what's going on right now, he can't really do
because
that.
Because he's the object of tension.
So, kind of like what we were saying earlier about what an actor, what their strengths and, you know, I mean, like, that's one of Joshua Jackson's strengths. And we can't get there yet.
Yeah,
it's
because
like,
nobody trusts him.
Right, but I want to get there because that's what I like about
his character. As Broyles said, he is a fringe event.
Yes.
Instead of
true.
Investigating
fringe
events.
Exactly.
And I liked when he like rigged the thing so he could talk to them through the microphone. Yeah, it's clearly him. Like, what's he doing? Like, you know, like,
I thought he was trying to break out. I was like,
that's what I thought too.
And
I was like,
I thought that would be silly because he'd just break out into a room full of agents.
Right.
So, doing the communications so he could hear what's going on and participate because he wants to participate.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, that's pretty good. And they actually allowed him to do it. Thank you very much. All right, wrapping up for this week. It was a really strong week. We had a lot of stuff to talk about. So if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And you can listen to us on getthepointradio.com and Krypton Radio. Talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Later.